Welcome to Medicine Matters, the Springer Medicine Podcast. In this episode, we're talking to Professor Giacomo Grasselli from the University of Milan about recent developments in the diagnosis and management of acute respiratory distress syndrome, or ARDS. It's been a very exciting year for the field. An updated definition of a condition, and then not one, but two new guidelines released by major societies. For our non-respiratory physicians, ARDS is defined as acute respiratory failure within 7 days of a known clinical insult. And that can be either pulmonary or extrapulmonary. Often it's a pulmonary infection such as pneumonia, but also systemic infections like extrapulmonary sepsis can trigger ARDS. Its definition is still really controversial, and as we'll hear from our expert shortly, a lot of work has been put into a clear definition of this condition. In practice, however, we often end with ARDS as a diagnosis by exclusion. For example, you need to be sure that the cause of any pulmonary edema is not left arterial hypertension, or that any pulmonary hypertension isn't being caused by congestive heart failure. Of course, these are just two examples. The list is exhaustive, and it's an extremely complicated condition to treat, which is why I imagine there has been so much work done in recent months to try and clarify the diagnosis and treatment pathways for these patients. Luckily for us, we have Professor Grasselli to walk us through the key points now. We'll be discussing why there was a need for an update to the original 2012 Berlin definition of ARDS and what the latest version published earlier this year. Then we'll hear some more details about the new guidelines that I mentioned earlier, guidelines from the American Thoracic Society and the European Society of Intensive Care Medicine. So there is so much to discuss. I think we should get started.
Hello, I'm Shreya Nanda, a Senior Clinical Content Manager at Springer Medicine, focusing on respiratory medicine and oncology. I'm absolutely delighted to have as my guest today, Professor Giacomo Grasselli from Italy. Thank you ever so much for joining us today. Could I ask you to start by telling us a bit about the new proposed global definition of ARDS? First of all, why was a new definition needed?
Well, I think that probably after COVID, we had a lot of discussions about whether COVID is, let's say, a classical ARDS or not, or it's a different entity. And many patients were treated with high flow nasal oxygen, so technically they did not fulfill it. They could not meet the criteria of the Berlin definition that requires some PEEP to measure the severity of oxygenation. Then, so many experts decided that maybe the Berlin definition that was published, that was proposed in 2012 and published in JAMA, maybe needed to be updated or improved. And so there was this group of experts who basically started the process of reviewing the Berlin definition and of proposing this new global definition.
So it was COVID that really started the debate over whether the existing definition of ARDS was still sufficient for the range of clinical scenarios that doctors were seeing. That's really interesting. So what then are the key novel aspects in the new definition? How does it differ from the Berlin one?
Mostly on two aspects. The first one is that it allows the use of SF ratio instead of the PF ratio. So the current definition uses the fraction, the ratio between partial pressure of oxygen in the arterial blood divided by the fraction of inspired oxygen. In this new definition, it's also allowed the use of oxygen saturation, peripheral oxygen saturation divided by the FiO2 to define the severity of oxygenation. This was done mostly to meet the need of doctors from low and middle income countries where sometimes the arterial blood gases are not usually available, while oxygen peripheral saturation pulse oximetry is, I would say, universally available. So this is the first aspect. And the second one is the inclusion of patients on high flow nasal oxygen, which means that you don't formally need any minimum PEEP to be applied to the patient for the measurement of oxygenation. The current definition needs a PF ratio below 300 measured with at least 5 centimeters of water of PEEP that can be applied also non-invasively by CPAP or non-invasive ventilation, while the new global definition includes also patients on nasal high flow. And we know that nasal high flow oxygen provides a small amount of PEEP, which cannot really easily be measured. And so the idea is that they wanted to expand the population of patients with ARDS, including also those who were receiving nasal high flow, and so not formally receiving some PEEP.
So what impact do you expect this new definition to have? Do you see it being taken up in practice?
Well, I must say that I'm a bit skeptical about this. It's difficult to answer because from my point of view, but this is very personal perspective, the new definition of ARDS, if it's actually needed, should be the results of the joint effort between the major societies. So my point would be that this is a definition that has been proposed by a group of experts, world-renowned experts, and for sure, no one questions their, can I say, eminence, but it's not something that comes from an official process endorsed by the society. So the problem is that this means that now we have two definitions, one which is the official one, which is the Berlin definition, and this one that someone is starting to use in clinical trials, for example. And I'm afraid that this will generate a bit of confusion. So I hope that society and experts will find, let's say, a sort of agreement and start to do something, let's say, a joint process to give a definite answer to the definition of ARDS.
Agreed. I think a single universally accepted definition would be really helpful for practicing clinicians. And actually, that leads quite nicely onto my next question. You referred to the important role of societies in endorsing definitions such as this. Both ESICM and ATS have recently updated their clinical practice guidelines for ARDS, and I'm interested to know what definition of ARDS they used.
So I'm the first author of the ESICM guidelines. So I had the honor and the pleasure to chair all the process together with Luigi Camparotta and Caroline Galfi. So we were leading a group of 61 experts plus patient representatives. So it was really, really a big effort. The ATS guidelines were mostly intended as an update of the previous guidelines. In the guidelines, both in the ESICM guidelines and in the ATS guidelines, we refer to the Berlin definition of ARDS.
Do you expect the societies to further update their recommendations to accommodate this new definition? You talked about, you know, everyone needing to work together. So what would that involve?
Yeah, no, actually, to answer your question, I mean, straight answer is no. I don't expect it. First of all, because we just released our recommendations. Second, because in the ESICM guidelines, there were two domains on non-invasive respiratory support. So there are recommendations for nasal high flow and non-invasive ventilation. So we did not talk about, for nasal high flow, we did not talk about ARDS because, again, according to the Berlin definition, patients with high flow nasal oxygen, since they don't probably receive at least 5 centimeters of water of PEEP, cannot be defined as having ARDS. But we included one domain on nasal high flow, calling these patients with acute hypoxemic respiratory failure. So I do not really expect that the ESICM will update the recommendations, because the recommendations already apply also to the new global definition, if you want. For the ATS guidelines, again, these are mostly an update of the previous guidelines that were published in 2017 by ESICM and ATS jointly. This time we were not, I don't know, able to produce a joint guideline because the aim of the two societies were a bit different, again, because ESICM wanted to produce a more comprehensive work, while the ATS wanted to only to update the previous recommendations. So we did not work together. I would say that these are two complementary processes and documents, but I don't see now the possibility of updating any recommendation based on the new definition of ARDS.
I guess one question I do have is, why is ARDS, it seems very tricky to define. What makes it such a difficult proposition?
Well, the problem is that ARDS is a syndrome, and syndromes are constructs. I mean, syndromes are not distinct diseases. Syndromes are entities, clinical entities that we define based on some general criteria, mostly for, I would say, nosologic purposes. So if you think of the definition of ARDS, I mean, ARDS is defined as a form of non-cardiogenic pulmonary edema that appears within 7 days from a known clinical insult. But if you think of the known clinical insults, they go from pneumonia, either bacterial, viral, fungal, to extrapulmonary sepsis, to trauma, to pancreatitis, transfusions, and so on. So it's a sort of, it was called a garden variety of different diseases that share some common characteristics, mostly that they can trigger this inflammatory reaction at the level of the lung, but there is not even a, I would say, a histopathological hallmark of the syndrome. So I think that in the future we are moving towards, you know, personalized medicine. And this problem that the ARDS lumps together many, many different clinical entities. So when you want to do a study on ARDS, you include by definition a inherently heterogeneous population. This is the reason why most of the studies on ARDS are negative, because all the studies on drugs in ARDS are negative. Because you tend to apply one treatment strategy, one therapeutic intervention to a group of patients who are completely different from each other. So this is the reason why I think that we are moving away from this syndromic nosology in intensive care medicine. I mean, ARDS is a syndrome, sepsis is a syndrome. At least 70-80% of the patients with ARDS also have sepsis. So we're moving towards personalized and precision medicine.
So what is the key next step? What, you know, obviously this definition was proposed, but it doesn't sound like it addresses the main issues in this field. So what do you think needs to be done?
I don't really know if we need a new definition. I'm convinced that even if we do a new definition, that we put together 60 experts, the best experts in the world on ARDS, and we close them in a location for 1 month, and we tell them, okay, now you have to go to come out with the definition of ARDS. That's okay. It's a deal with, let's say, Hodgkin disease, you know, at the beginning. And maybe we will have some improvement. Maybe we will incorporate some physiological variables like compliance. Maybe we will find an agreement on the use of SF ratio, HFO, or whatever, but bilateral disease or not, chest X-rays, if needed or not, should we maybe use ultrasound instead of chest X-ray? But again, I don't think that this will make a huge difference because, as I told you, we were still trying to lump together under a large umbrella many different things. So I think that the main area of research will be, to me, the identification of specific subsets of patients or subphenotypes of patients that can respond differently to different treatment strategies. That this has been demonstrated quite clearly by the work done by Caroline Calfi. She identified with latent class analysis in large patient samples of patients collected from the big randomized control studies. So she retrospectively analyzed the blood and many clinical variables, and she was able to identify two subphenotypes of ARDS. One is called hypoinflammatory, and the other one is called hyperinflammatory. And if you review those studies that were negative, like, for example, some studies on high versus low PEEP, and if you see if there is a differential effect of high versus or low PEEP in the two subphenotypes of patients, you will find that patients with the hyperinflammatory phenotype will benefit from high PEEP, while high PEEP will be detrimental in patients with the hypoinflammatory phenotype, and these patients with the hypoinflammatory phenotype will survive more if they will be treated with lower PEEP. So the idea is that all the studies that turn negative, like studies on simvastatin in ARDS, studies on fluid management in ARDS, they were negative because we included different patients. But if you reanalyze those studies in light of the subclassification of the patients in hypo or hyperinflammatory phenotype, then you see that those studies do not turn negative anymore. But there is this what is called heterogeneity of treatment effect. So the idea is that different subphenotypes of patients, they respond differently to different treatment strategies. So this will certainly help us to improve the design of the studies, to do some predictive enrichment for enrollment of the patient. So the idea is that we will test higher PEEP level only in patients who may benefit from higher PEEP levels. And so this is probably the main area of investigation. One major step forward will be the possibility to identify these two subphenotypes of ARDS at the bedside, because as of now, they have been identified retrospectively. But clearly, if you identify them retrospectively, this does not help you to understand which treatment is better. But now we have a device that can do this phenotyping at the bedside, so we can design studies that randomize patients based on their hyper or hyperinflammatory phenotype. And we established a large international consortium led by Caroline Calfi, Danny McCauley, that is hopefully about to be funded by the EU, and it has already been funded by the NIHR in UK. And we have designed a large platform adaptive trial to test some pharmacological interventions in patients with one of the two different subphenotypes identified at the bedside at patient enrollment. So this would be a major, how can I say, turnaround point in the research on ARDS.
Brilliant. Yeah, sounds like we have lots to look forward to you know, improve things for patients. Thank you so much for your time today. It's been really great speaking to you. I think our listeners will really enjoy your thoughts and the discussion.
Thank you very much.
This podcast is intended for healthcare professionals for their ongoing medical education and entertainment. It should not replace the professional advice of a doctor or pharmacist, and may not be used as a basis for diagnosis or any change to the prescribed treatment of disease. The views expressed by our moderators and guests are their opinions and do not represent the position of any third parties. The information given in the podcast is subject to change as the scientific field and clinical advances progress.